Good morning. Welcome again this morning to the fellowship here and the time we are able to spend together this morning looking into God's Word and fellowshipping together, singing together, bringing honor and glory to God through our time and our fellowship together. You can turn with me to 2 John. Yes, we all know that there's a 1 John, there is a 2 and a 3 John. And if you need help to find it, start at Revelations, go backwards, there'll be a couple books there. It's the second book of John. So you can turn there with me and we will read this and make some comments. 2 John says this, "The elder, to the elect lady and her children whom I love, in truth, not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of the Father in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Verse 7 says, For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Let's pause for a word of prayer as we look at this scripture. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to look into your word. And God, I pray this morning that you would protect the words. I pray that the words that I speak, that you lead me to speak this morning, Lord, would be protected, that they would reach the ear of the hearer and undefiled. Father, pray for wisdom, pray for clarity, pray for a clear understanding and hearing of this scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled the message this morning, Walking in the Truth. Walking in the Truth. So why is that important this morning? Why is it important that we walk in the truth? It's an action word. We are to walk in the truth. We are to continue in the truth. We are to walk in what God has revealed to us. So we are to walk in the truth. And we live in a culture today that has adapted this philosophy that there are no absolutes. Well, I tend to differ. There are absolutes. One thing you don't do, if you stick your finger into the electrical outlet, which you can't, most of them have a cover on, but go to the big box in the back and take the cover off and stick your finger in there, right, Mark? It's going to shock. If there's electric there, it will shock you. I have never, that's an absolute, that's a given. It will shock you, okay? So that's an absolute. I have never dove off of a diving board and just hung there in midair and had to swim down to the water. Gravity always works. Mothers have a ferocious instinct of protecting their babies. And that's a given. Mothers do that. That's why I can't quite. And Jamie found this out yesterday. She went to visit a friend that had a dog that had puppies. And Jamie was invited over to see the puppies. And they went in to where the dog was. And Jamie asked if it's okay to go in with the dog. And yeah, the friend said, yeah, it's no problem, no problem at all. Well, the friend was very friendly, but the dog was not friendly. So Jamie found out that she apparently was a threat to the dog, and the dog bit her in the back of the leg. And so Again, it's an absolute. It's a given that mothers protect their children. It's an absolute. That's why I can't understand. I cannot get a hold of how a mother will viciously kill their baby in the womb. I don't understand that. It's an absolute given in a mother to protect her children and let she would go and kill them in the womb. Doesn't make sense. You know what has happened? There has been a distortion of truth. There has been a distortion of truth, and it has been adopted by our society, by our culture, and is being adopted by the church. That homosexuality is okay. There's an absolute. God made a man and a woman. That's the way he designed it. There's an absolute. Are you with me? We have, in our culture today, there are many things that we will get on a platform for. We will jump up and down, and we as it relates to government and those kinds of things, we have our platforms that we get on, and we will shout and we will make noise, and we will be alarmed at how the country is going. We're alarmed at what's happening. We're alarmed at the things that people are saying, the things that people are doing. We're alarmed. Somehow, that same passion has not spilled over into the church, into alarm at where the church is going, alarm for where the church is headed, what the church is doing, some of the things that the church is accepting, where the church is no longer walking in truth. We don't have the same passion that we have politically. Why not? I ask the question, why not? Why don't we? It's a whole lot more important than the political scene is. But we don't have the same passion about the fact that the church is not practicing moral values. That the church isn't practicing true theology. It's sobering. It is. And there are many absolutes that you can think of that you don't get on the turnpike and go west on the eastbound side. You don't do that. It's an absolute. You don't do that. Can you? Yeah. Can you stick your finger in an outlet? Yeah. Can you do these things? Yeah. But there's an absolute result. And so John, in his scripture here, he says this, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. And I want to share with you this morning that from a pastor's heart, there is nothing that touches my heart more than to see people walking in truth, embracing it, getting it, and walking in it, being led by the Holy Spirit. That's my desire for the church here at New Covenant, to be led by, to walk in the Spirit and walk in truth. And along with that comes love. And we'll get into that. We'll digest that a little bit more. I want to share a quote with you from Our Family Ministries, which is Rick Rhodes. I don't know. I could not find who wrote this, if he wrote this, or what it was. So I share it with you from that standpoint. It says this, my heart is burdened for brothers and sisters in the Lord who are struggling and confused over God's word and the work of the Holy Spirit. So let me just clarify one thing that happens when we don't walk in the truth that we know, when we don't walk in the truth of God's word, when we don't walk in the truth, the absolutes that God has given, it causes what? Confusion. Confusion. You see it in our government and being played out in so many different places. Where truth is not practiced, there is confusion. So we go on. The sad thing, yet not surprising reality, is that the confusion comes from within, just as Scripture said it would. Whenever we divide the Word of God from the Holy Spirit, we will have what? Confusion. When we divide the Word of God from the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had someone come to you and say that, yeah, well, the Spirit told me to do something that is different than God's Word, but the Spirit very clearly told me to do that. No. The Spirit does not very clearly tell you to do something contrary to God's Word. And so when we walk in truth, all of our truth has to be gathered from the Word of God. So you cannot separate the working of the Spirit from the Word of God, truth. Let's go on. Whenever we divide Jesus and Paul, we will have confusion. Paul followed Jesus and told us to do the same. So you can't divide Jesus and Paul in the scripture, say, well, only what's written in red really matters. That's another one that's out there. That's another thing that's being taught, that only the parts of scripture that are written in red are really what are truth and to be followed. That's something that's being taught. We can't divide them. It brings confusion. Whenever we call biblical obedience legalism and call freedom to the flesh, freedom in the spirit, we will have confusion. Let me read that one again. Whenever we call biblical obedience legalism and call freedom to the flesh, freedom in the spirit, we will have confusion. It will cause confusion. So, our goal needs to be to find truth. When we promote an individualist Christianity and speak against being a member of a local body, we will what? Have confusion. But when we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, we will want to obey him, and we will obey out of the love for him. We cannot separate true love and obedience. And the Holy Spirit will always lead you to love and obedience in God's word. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to love and obedience of God's word. And I finished quoting. John said, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth. And we can get into the first part of the scripture there where he calls himself the elder. Then he says to the elect lady, and I was amused that as you look in the commentaries and you try and find out, what does the elect lady mean? Was he actually writing the letter to a lady, or was he writing the letter metaphorically to the church? And it's all over the place. Most don't know. But the strongest leading is to the fact that he was speaking to the church, the elect lady being the church. And that's followed up there in the last verse. It says, the children of your elect sister greet you, which would refer to the church that he was a part of, which really means not a whole lot compared to the context of the sermon. But I was just reminded again that as we take this here responsibility of walking in the truth, there is a scripture that should stand out to all of us. It says this, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I went to work one morning, and there was a long concrete stairs that went up to the lunchroom, and it was icy. And so I'm young. I have sure footing. I'm sure of myself. I tiptoed up the steps. I reached for the doorknob, and I didn't have a hold of the doorknob yet. Both feet went out from under me. I slid down the steps on my backside and felt the pain of that for a long time. But I say to us this morning, take heed, he that thinks he stands, lest he fall. Take heed, he that thinks he stands, lest he fall. You say to me this morning, Luke, why do you have to be talking about walking in truth? Why do we need to be reminded? You know why we need to be reminded? Because we forget. We need to be reminded because we so quickly slip into embracing things that are not true. When we don't focus on truth, and I'll get into some, let me just share some other things that I've found here. Only 32% of born-again believers believe in absolutes in morality and theology. Only 32% of believers, born-again believers, believe in absolutes in morality and theology. That's scary. Because these are people that are teaching These are people that are preaching. And if there isn't a belief that there is absolutes in morality and theology, then what are you going to teach? What are you going to teach? As soon as people do not walk in truth, then of course confusion abounds. As soon as people do not walk in truth, then there's confusion abounds. And it's no wonder that our society is confused. And I just find this, it's no wonder that our society is confused. You know, we look at government, we look at and we try to fix society by fixing government. Okay? You know where I think the fault lies? Can I say it very clearly? I believe the fault lies with the church. Because the church has not demonstrated a clear truth for people to embrace. So you say you have been born again. You've had this here changing, heart-changing experience in your life. And you're a new man. You're a new creation. And you go to work and you cuss and you swear and you drink and you do all the things that you did before. They look at you and they say, what has changed? What has changed? Why would I be interested in that? What you're offering, what you're saying has happened? So there's naturally, and rightly so, the world around us has been confused because the church has not stood for truth, stood on truth. Alistair Begg puts it this way. You know, as it relates to absolute truth and do we want truth and do we want to hear truth? In the Delta Airlines, the way I understand from his writing in 2016 is that you were able to dial into and listen to the conversation between the traffic control and the pilot, the air traffic control tower and the pilot. And he said, he put it this way, imagine that you're on an airplane and you hear the air traffic control tell the pilot to descend to 9,000 feet and maintain. And the pilot comes back to the air traffic control and says, what is 9,000 feet? Air traffic control responds to the pilot and says, whatever you make it. Whatever you make it. You see, this morning, church, it is not about what I am convicted of. It's not about my convictions. It's about the truth of the gospel. It's about the truth of God's word. It's not what I make it, it's what God has made it. It's what Jesus Christ has made it. He went to the cross and he died for you and I, that we might be free from sin and death. And yet today we walk around in the bondage of sin saying, I can't get free of it. That is a lie from the enemy. You can be free from the sin that is holding your life, that is holding you hostage. But you have to walk in the truth. You have to embrace the truth of God's word. You can't make the truth. You don't make the truth. God makes it. You don't decide what 9,000 feet is. God did already. It's all there. And let me assure you this morning that this walking in truth is not going to be a walk in the park. Walking in truth is not going to be a walk in the park. Walking in truth is going to be an uphill climb from the day you are born again. It is going to be the most difficult walk that you will ever take. Is walking in truth. You want to know why? Because where truth is, there Satan is. Where truth is, there Satan is. He is the father of lies, and the thing that he wants to distort more than anything is the truth. He is the father of lies. And the thing he wants more than anything is for you to believe in untruth. So when you start walking in with truth, when you start taking a stand for truth, guess what? Guess where Satan's going to be? Right there. Right there, because he don't want you to believe in truth. He don't want you to walk in that truth. As Winston Churchill said, you have enemies? Good. That means you've stood up for something sometime in your life. You have enemies? Good. That means you have stood up for something in your life sometime. I can see you. You identify with that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You found the truth. You walk in truth. And you're walking in, and all of a sudden, your family members turn against you. All of a sudden, there's angry coworkers that, you're trying to figure out what I'm trying to walk, or I am walking in truth, and why this? The walk of truth will be the hardest walk you will ever walk. It will be an uphill climb the whole way. So my challenge to you this morning, my challenge to you is don't quit, don't quit. Let's turn to Judges quickly. The book of Judges, again, not one that we look at very often, but want to point out a scripture here that Israel found themselves, a place that Israel found themselves in is the consequences of. Let me just finish. First of all, when the church is willing to embrace the uphill climb and be bold enough to say that here's where I take a stand, and it is backed by a life of integrity, I assure you, it is the most powerful witness and testimony that the church can have. If the church is willing to embrace the uphill climb and say, this is where we take a stand, we stand on truth, the truth of Scripture, the truth of God's Word, the truth that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that He did die for you and I, and that we can be free from the sin. If we embrace that truth, if we embrace that uphill climb, I assure you, it is the most powerful testimony that the church will ever have. One of the things here back in that scripture is how John ties truth and love together. And I think that's so important this morning as we think about the truth of Scripture and understanding that love and truth are tied together. Love and truth are tied together. You can't separate them from each other. If you separate truth from love, it becomes harsh. If you separate love from truth, it becomes harsh. If you separate truth from love, it's just some sentimental thing. So it's important that we embrace. I'm going to be a little mixed up here with some notes, but anyway. Judges chapter 10, and I'm going to read starting at verse 3. We'll start at verse 6. In verse 1 through 6, is there's two of the judges, and their names are given there, Tola and Jair. And these two judges judged Israel for a certain amount of time. It was quite long. I forget how many years it was. But that Israel prospered and did good in the sight of the Lord while these two judges were judging Israel. And so we come onto the story here in verse 6. It says, then these two judges died. And here we are again with the children of Israel. In verse 6, then the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Astaroths and the gods of Syria and the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the people of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines, and they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was hot against them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the anger of the Lord being hot? I wonder what that was like. Anyway, against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the people, and into the hands of the people of Ammon. From that year, they harassed and oppressed the children of Israel for 18 years. For 18 years. All the children of Israel who were on the other side of the Jordan in the land of the Amorites of Gilead. Moreover, the people of Ammon crossed over the Jordan to fight against Judah, also against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was severely distressed. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, we have sinned against you because we have both forsaken our God and served Baals. So the Lord said to the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon? and from the Philistines, also the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Maonites, and oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. And the children of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems best to you. Only deliver us this day, we pray. So they put away the foreign gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul could no longer endure the misery of Israel. God's soul could no longer endure their misery, and so he delivered them once again. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God has delivered you from death, hell, and the grave. He has delivered you from many things, and I'm getting ahead of myself. So what happened here with the children of Israel is they found themselves in this backslidden state where they were living in. And I want to assure us this morning, if you're here this morning and you feel like maybe you have not been walking in truth, there is hope. There is hope. Hallelujah. There is hope. You can walk in truth and you can be made right with God. God offers that to you. And so some people might say, okay, so how do I know if I'm backslidden? And here was Thomas Guthrie says this, if you find yourself loving any pleasure more than your prayers, let me start over. If you find yourself loving any pleasure more than your prayers, any book better than the Bible, any house better than the Lord's house, any table better than the Lord's table, any persons better than Christ, or any indulgence better than the hope of heaven, then you might need to be alarmed. If these aren't the passions of your heart, Jesus Christ, heaven being your goal, if these aren't your passions, then what is taking your passion? What is capturing your passion? But the beauty of it is we look at this particular scripture where it appears like God said, I'm done with you. I am done with you. I have delivered you, and you have backslidden again. You've gone back into what I have delivered you from. And the children of Israel did the proper thing. They fell on their faces and said, Lord, we have sinned, and they turned from their gods, the gods that they were serving. So I'm here to tell you this morning, if you have fallen and you have fallen again and God has delivered you and you have fallen again, there is hope. There is hope. But first of all, the only hope that we have is that we have to walk in truth. And walking in truth is getting rid of the gods that will distract us from the one true God. So if there's gods in your life that you are serving, the first thing to do is to get rid of them. Get rid of them. And God's compassion will be turned towards you. So we have all kinds of gods, I think, that we have the ability to worship in America. And I'm not going to name them. But is there an idol? Is there a God that you have set up in your heart while you are trying to walk in truth? Is there a God that is set up, an idol that is set up in your heart, while you are trying to walk in truth and you wonder why you can't walk in truth? The first thing is to get rid of it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we see this time and again throughout Judges, the children of Israel. Judges 2:11 says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Baal. Judges 3:7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot that the Lord their God had served Balaam, and they forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam in the groves. Judges 3:12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Egon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Judges 4:1, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And Judges 6:1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And it goes on. and on. Sounds a little bit like some Christians that have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and find themselves continuing on in this vicious cycle. There is a scripture in Psalms. One of the things that I wanted to convey to you this morning is that one of the things that happens is there are enemies of the flesh. There are enemies of our soul. There are enemies of our soul that God has delivered us from. There's enemies of the soul, and there's in Psalms. In Psalms 81, it says this, and I'm just going to read Psalms 81, 14. There's a long, God goes in again to how he delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, and he took the burden off their shoulders, and the people, they continued. And then it says in verse 11, it says, "But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries." And that verse just stood out to me, that he would quickly have subdued their enemies had they listened to him. Had they listened to him, he would have quickly subdued their enemies. And that's where I point out this morning that the enemies of our flesh, the enemies of our soul, are found in 1 John 2:15, where the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are enemies of the soul. And God is saying the same thing as he said to the children of Israel, or as he shared there in Psalms, that he would quickly subdue these enemies of our soul if we would be quick and willing to listen to him. So we go about dabbling in the flesh, and we go about looking at things that we shouldn't look at, and we go about getting involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in. We let our children go to places that they shouldn't go. We give them unrestricted cell phones and computers, and we say, "God, deliver me from my enemy." What's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with the picture? We're not walking in truth. We're not walking in truth. In Judges 10:14, God said, "Cry out to your gods. If that's what you want to serve, cry out to your gods and have them deliver you. Have them deliver you from the enemies of your soul." You see, there's been an erosion of the very fibers of the being of Christianity. And I think about my brother bought the house that I grew up in, an old farmhouse. It was built in the 1800s, and he started to do some renovation in the house, and thinking that the house was relatively solid. It had old beams in the house that were there since it was built, and as he got into tearing the walls apart and stuff, come to discover that termites had been in those logs, and that bite by bite, they had compromised the integrity of that big solid oak log. And it was powder. It was relatively worthless. With the right amount of weight on it, would have broken it. And that, I'm sorry, friends, that is what we need to guard against. No, I'm not sorry, but that is what we need to guard against within the church. That little by little, that one bite at a time, is breaking apart the fibers that hold the church together. So you say, why? Well, looking back at the scripture there in John, and I'm not going to turn to it again, but looking at scripture there where John wrote to the elect lady, he said, "It thrills my heart to see that some of you are walking in the truth." And he points it out, and I point out to you this morning, it thrills my heart to see you walking in truth.
And yet, at the same time, John went on in verse 7, he says, but beware. Okay? That's what I'm saying to you. I'm not scolding you this morning. I'm saying, be aware. There are things, there are bugs, there are little termites that are trying to tear apart the fiber of the church. Not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church. There are absolutes that are being compromised. There are things of truth that are being compromised while we stand by and let it happen. Had we known the termites were attacking the logs in the house, we would have dealt with them very quickly. We would not have allowed it to continue. So in your life, if there are those termites, deal with them quickly. Deal with them quickly. Like I said, we can get on our platforms and we can talk about eating healthy and anti-vax and whatever. Put whatever in there that's going on today. And we can get on a platform and we can just really stump and shout about it. Okay? I do the same thing. I have those things that I'm passionate about that you'll find me promoting, stumping about, getting on a platform about. We do that. I call us to the same sincerity with the moral decay of the church, because it is what is going to make a difference in our culture. People are watching. They're watching you and I. We need to have something to present to them. We need to have truth to present to them in such a way that there is no question. And we are coming. We went through a season here with the men where we talked about pornography and we talked about the evil of it and how that it destroys you personally, it destroys your family, it destroys your relationship. We spent months on that. We are coming into the summer season, and I want to just draw our minds and our hearts to consider again, to be aware again of modesty. And modesty applies to both men and women. It is to be embraced by both men. I think it is most primarily to women. I speak this morning that we are coming into this season again where people have somehow chosen that it's okay to walk around naked. Okay? So I'm calling you again this morning to, if we are going to make a difference, if we're going to be different, if we are going to show the world what walking in truth is like, then we need to embrace that as a church. And I asked a question that was asked, and I don't want you to answer me. And it's just a question that I'm putting out there. How do you conclude that mixed bathing is okay? Let me tell you a story. The Santa Maria is a cruise ship that was hijacked in 1967. And the hijackers took over that cruise ship. And during the hijacking of the Santa Maria in 1967, and I'm reading, the women on board were concerned that the rebels might have taken design on them, so they left off wearing enticing clothing. They stopped appearing in shorts and halter tops and quit swimming in the ship's pool. The question that I beg to ask, if the women of the world knew what it excited in those men and were willing to put it aside for the time being, why don't the daughters of God, are the daughters of God willing to embrace the same thing? If our men are willing to take the step and be bold in trying to deal with this thing with pornography and looking at things that are not pure and that are not holy, then don't drag them, okay? Help them. That's why we have concluded in our covenant, we have a statement on modesty, and modesty is a heart thing. It is a heart thing, but it's also connected to an external thing. So it's a thing of the heart. And in our covenant, we have concluded that women wearing pants is not an accurate definition of modesty. So I leave that with you. If the world is to be able to see truth, being lived out in our lives, if we are going to be people who will live lives of integrity, then we need to be the people who are walking in truth, who are leading the way, not following after, but leading the way that God has designed. God has designed it. I didn't write it. It's obvious in Scripture that God has a heart as it relates to this subject. And then you say, well, what's it any of your business, Luke? Well, the Bible says that one of the first commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, okay? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? The second one is like unto it is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so would I stand by and watch someone be run over by a truck when I had the ability to warn or to share? Suppose, in a weak state of mind, I would take a blanket and I would sit out on Muddy Creek Road there at our house. I would sit out on Muddy Creek Road with my teapot and my blanket on the road having a little tea party with myself. And at the top of the hill, there's a truck coming up the other side of the hill who missed Super Value. He couldn't see the 18-acre building. But he's coming up the hill and he wants to turn around in my yard. But that's another story. But anyway, the truck is coming up the other side of the hill. And I'm sitting across the top of the knob there. I'm on my blanket. And you're standing at the top of the hill. You can see the truck coming. You can see the truck coming. He's doing 50 mile an hour because he's empty. And he's all of a sudden realizes that he's going the wrong way and he needs to get somewhere where he can turn around. But anyway, he's coming up the hill 50 miles an hour. He's going to come over that knob. He's not going to have a lot of time to stop because I'm sitting there on my blanket having a tea party. But I don't want to move. I don't want to move. It's hard for me to get up. It's hard for me to change. It's hard for me to change my position. But I assure you this morning that if you are the brother or the sister that is standing at the top of the hill, what are you going to do? You are going to do everything that you can possibly do to warn me about my little tea party about to get run over. And I want you to. And neither do you have to develop a relationship with me. And I use that very cautiously because I am a strong believer in relationship and sharing with other people in love. I believe that. But when there's somebody about to get run over, do we have the same passion that we would physically for the spiritual being? For the spiritual being. Now, I know some of you tuned me out. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if we are going to make a difference for the kingdom of God, then we need to walk in truth with love. You cannot separate the two. You cannot separate the two. Because truth without love becomes harsh. Love without truth becomes sentimental. And so the context, don't walk away from here getting hung up this morning on the fact that I talked about modesty. I believe it's the time, it's the season, it's the place, and I try not to make a habit of doing it. But I call us again this morning, women in our congregation, to step up to the higher level that God has called you to. God has called you to it, and you can do it, okay? So if we in the church are to make a difference, we need to walk in truth. Truth of the matter is that you have been born again. You have been washed in the blood. You have been redeemed from hell. You have been set free from Satan. You have the power of Christ living in you this morning. And you are able to walk a victorious life in Jesus Christ. And if you continue to fall back, if you continue to go back, there might come a time God will say to you, go call on your gods. Go call on your gods that you want to worship, that you want to follow. But remember this, there is always, always available to you and I that we can acknowledge that we have not been walking true and faithful to God's word. We have not been walking in truth and say to God, God, we have sinned. I have sinned. I have sinned. And put away the gods and walk in truth. Walk in truth. Anytime someone, and he, John finishes up that scripture, and he says this. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the truth of the doctrine, so the truth of Scripture, the truth, the whole truth of Scripture, the doctrine of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, having been crucified and rose again, and that three are one, the Trinity. See, you cannot walk in disobedience and believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can't continue to walk in disobedience and believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We have to yield to his Lordship. That's part of the doctrine. That's part of who Christ is. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is the only one that is Lord. And so John says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house. And the commentaries would say there that your house would be the house of the Lord, the church. Again, for what it's worth. Nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. If we are to embrace him and take him into the fellowship, we enter into their evil deeds. I must quit. I hope that this morning has been a challenge to you again to walk in truth. To walk in truth. You know, it's possible. We can do it. We can do it. And if this country is going to change, this culture is going to change, if the church is going to change, it starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with you. If it's going to change, if it's going to change our culture, our society, it starts with us. It starts with us. I believe that. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the word. I pray that you would continue to lead our hearts, guide our minds. Father, I pray that we would be able to be one with you. Lord, I pray that you would teach us to walk in truth, Lord, and to recognize those areas that we may have yielded to and given over to morality that does not reflect you and theology that does not reflect you. So, Father, I pray for wisdom. Pray for understanding. Pray for guidance as you give to each of us what I believe that you have for us. Father, as we learn to lean on you, learn to follow you, and as the scripture says there in Psalms 81, that if we would listen on you, you are willing and ready to subdue our enemies. And Father, those enemies of the soul being, I believe, one of them is the flesh. And we yield that to you this morning. Lord, we give the flesh to you to be purified, cleansed, and be made holy before you. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand as the chorister comes and leads us in song this morning. If there's something you want to do business with God, the altar is open. You know. I don't need to tell you. So if there's something you want to do with God, feel free to come to the altar here this morning and do it. I invite the chorister to come and lead us in song.